The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a killer episode on UFO whistleblowers.
I see what you did there.
You goddamn right you do.
I always say this show needs more death.
I bet my cheese muffins the type of death you want isn't the type they want.
Well, I mean, you know. We don't want death. I mean, not at least both of us, but I like where your head's at.
You sacks of shit ruin everything fun in my life.
Wait. Are you serious? Are you for real? Because I can live with that.
For now.
Shut up. We're broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, a.k.a. the Windy City, a.k.a. the Second City, a.k.a. Chicago. With a killer tether to parts unknown in windy Colorado. We're getting gusts of 20, 30 miles here.
Woo!
I'm David Flora. He's Brent Hand.
Yo.
And, of course, Coyle and Seabot are here to keep everyone on their toes.
Eat shit.
Hello.
Lovely attitude, Seabot, I got to tell you.
Thanks. I try.
Speaking of trying, we're trying not to die under mysterious circumstances while talking about the UAP phenomenon. Like the subjects of this week's killer episode. See, I'm getting into it, too.
There you go. That's right, David. But I got to let you know, sometimes you want to go where everybody gets killed. I think we're okay, though. But those could be not so famous last words.
Time will tell.
That is true. Very not so famous last words. Time will tell. If I go out by robot, I'm going to be very pissed, but you know, or just, you know, should have seen the writing on the wall, one or the other. Tell you what though, this list or this whole episode comes from a list from an appropriately named, website, Listverse. It's a Listverse
article.
What's the title of said article that we're basing this off of?
10 people connected to UFOs who met very suspicious in.
Hey! And they actually had 10 video clips that they used, and they, so you could learn about the people and a little bit snippets of what went on. And I thought this was really good. Normally, we have a lot of different research that goes in, but this was a great list for many reasons. We're going to reiterate throughout this whole episode what I'm about to say. Please remember to take all of this information with a huge grain of salt. There are conspiracies out there which are fun to talk about, but please don't spread them as truth, these ones, until you do serious research and make up your own decision, which is probably that they're all BS. That said, David, let's spread some conspiracies.
Let's give it a platform.
Yay! Let's not have any real discussion other than it's all true. I don't know why. I just feel it in my bones. Now, so we're going to break it up into two groups of five, and we're going to hit you with the first five right after this break on Hysteria 51. All right, cats and kittens, let's get it up running with number 10 on our list. In no particular order, Mr. Ron Rummel. We're launching headfirst in this death list. That's fun to call it. the case of Ron Rummel, it sounds like a Marvel character, like Peter Parker, Bruce Banner, Reed
Wade
Richards.
Wilson. Yeah, like, who? What do you think his superpowers would be? And death. Is he a villain or a hero?
Death. He dies whenever aliens are. Really shitty. Really shitty superpower.
This is a villain name to me.
Yeah. Parker! Yes, old Ronnie wasn't your run-of-the-mill conspiracy theorist, though. He had the creds to back it up. He was a former Air Force intelligence agent. We all know that they're always on the up-and-up and never get people to commit suicide or kill themselves or spread disinformation. Anyway, and if that wasn't enough to raise your Spockian eyebrow, the man made his bread and butter by serving piping hot extraterrestrial exposés through his own little outlet of otherworldly oddities, Alien Digest.
That is a great cookbook.
Well, you ain't lying, because he churned out theories that would make even the most seasoned sci-fi writers squirm, such as how our dear visitors from the cosmos saw us less as equals and more as entrees. So that's fun.
Oh, wait. There's more space dust on this book.
How to serve four humans. Don't
Alien
blame me.
Digestion and the human form.
Well, suffice to say, many in the UFO community waved off these juicy tidbits like flies at a summer barbecue. That's probably enough food puns on my part. Anyway, blink of an eye, Rummel exited stage left in August of 93. Officially, and we're going to say this a lot in this episode, it was a suicide, complete with a bullet-to-mouth salutation. Very, very sad. But here's where it gets spicier than a Martian enchilada.
Stop it.
Well, sorry. But when whispers of conspiratorial, that's what I meant to say. skullduggery began to resonate. Anyway, I'm using too many
words. Do you think Martians would use something like Tombasco sauce?
they're really into bland cooking. They're like the British. They just boil everything.
Do they have a do they go get a British peer and serve sriracha?
Oh man, we are fucking firing on all cylinders here.
Chachlula sauce.
I'm turgid. I don't know about you. Anyway, we're talking about stuff like the absence of blood on the pistol's barrel, like a fingerprints on the handle, and a potentially sinister twist. The alleged suicide note was apparently written in left-hand script, while Rummel was a certified right-hander. Yeah, done.
Is this in the police report?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
According to whispers, our dear Ron might have been silenced for uncovering the truth.
You know.
What's the truth?
That one.
Whatever you want it to be. Now, as far as these claims, the absolute truth are just another unsolved X-file, what the claims are. UFO circles still hotly debate this. But the official ledger, the official note is that he tragically, you know, decided to punch his own ticket and committed suicide. So anytime someone commits suicide, it seems, and they're in the world of the woo-woo, there's always questions, right? I mean, that's normal, wouldn't you say?
Sure.
Yeah,
you can go a couple of different ways with explaining that. But what would you say, Elizondo, suddenly we found out he took his life or
right,
something?
Right, right, right. He shot himself in the back of the head twice, like normal.
Yeah. This is funny because just in this, I know we're skimming through, it's a meaty episode, so I shouldn't talk too much.
No,
but,
please, feel free.
There's not a lot of information about what drove him to it.
Yeah.
Or what he said, right?
Right, which leads to it. Like when people go like, I didn't see this coming, you know, why would this happen? And then people go, oh, maybe it didn't. You know, so there's always that. Anytime there's a suicide, there's always that you know, and people want to look for these type of things. These, I'm in the know. I know what really happened, and he was 86'd, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, there's validity to that. That happens, and it has. Well, happened
people do get still people happens. Do get killed. You know, look at Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, normal suicide. Nothing to even look twice at there. So, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There's so many ways.
I'm kidding, powers that be. We all know he really did commit suicide. Anyway.
There's tons of ways to make something look like a suicide.
Now, if I'm ever. Go ahead.
There's that kernel of truth. Yeah. It's more than a kernel, I would say. So it's legitimate to think, hey, could there be something wrong? Question it, you know? Why not?
Right. Just always remember, kernels are found in shit also. So, hey. You're welcome. I will never commit suicide, but if I was ever going to commit suicide, this is what I would do. I would take all my money, and I would pay some dude to put a cage, like a big, like elephant cage in my basement, and I'd hack into the wall so it looks like something scratched all over it. Then I would get an actual silver bullet, and I'd leave a note like, I can't live with this curse anymore. And I would get a whole bunch of wolf hair from somewhere. I don't know, Wolf Hair RS. And I'd spring it all over myself and then shoot myself just so people would be like, whoa, did you hear about this shit?
This dude was a real life werewolf.
Oh my God. I hear he had a pentagram on his hand. It's crazy.
Brent, I'm sorry to inform you, but just because you've made a suicide plan, I have to call the cops now.
Isn't that fucked up? He's like, I would never do this, but on Thursday. moving on. Ron Johnson. We got a double serving of Ron UFO death this week. The Ron UFO Death Watch.
Why couldn't this be the freaking guy from Wisconsin? The unbelievable dipshit.
Well, Ron Johnson. This time
it's just a funny name.
Hey, Ron Johnson.
John Ronson.
We're introducing you to the peculiar tale of Ron Johnson. He's a UFO investigator whose demise is just as strange as the unexpected phenomena he dedicated his life to unraveling. Get this. While at a Society for Scientific Exploration conference in sunny Texas back in June of 1994, Johnson took a nosedive himself into the great unknown. Literally, by all accounts, he was a vibrant 43-year-old, fresh from a health check. He'd just been at the doctor, and he got a doctor's thumbs up. All's good. And so his abrupt ending is very bizarre because he was, by all accounts, very happy, healthy, and taking care of himself. Witness report him letting out a gasp mid-meeting before taking a nosedive face first into the boardroom table. So he wasn't jumping off of a ledge. He was smacking into the table. Here's where it turns weird, Twilight Zone. Ooh-wee. His face was this like eggplant purple blue color, like he choked, and blood started gushing out of his nose. And the official story chalks up to a stroke, which can cause that. But a lot of people, especially the people there, said that it just didn't sit right. And before this sudden outburst and death, he had taken a sip from a soda can, as you do. Mm. And now, considering he's knee-deep in UFO investigations and rubbed shoulders with people from advanced tech companies, of course, there's chatter on the interwebs out there of a possibility of foul play using like a soda can. And could something have been smeared or slipped into the drink, causing a fatal reaction that mimicked a stroke? I'm sure. But also, that's a big jump. Where is the line of thinking that connects that, right?
Mm. It couldn't have possibly been an acute arterial thrombosis or anything.
Yeah, which is literally happens all the time, just not in front of people. But guess what? People die all the time. It's kind of crazy. You know, there's zero concrete evidence to anything. also, you know, people are like, well, why didn't they test that? Well, usually they don't when there's nothing, no foul play.
Suspected. Or
right.
Yeah.
Your guess is good as ours. But, of course, because who he was and the company kept, people say he was silenced. Maybe he was. Maybe he was onto something. I don't know.
I'll tell you what. I was kind of expecting more like aliens screwing with people and killing them. But this sounds like the government.
Yeah, all these are people that were aliens. These people weren't per se killed by the aliens, but because of the aliens. They all knew.
Give me one of them dun-dun-duns again.
Uh-oh. Tell us, sir. Tell us about John Murphy. We're going off the Ron train. Why don't you bring us into with a John?
Now on to Murph. This time, boy, I'd like to say it's not a curious case, but I cannot.
Yeah.
We're dialing back to the swinging 60s with radio broadcaster John Murphy.
John Murphy, you're the blast from the past coming at you fast. Here's, I don't know, some song from the 60s. I couldn't think of one, and that's
okay. Here's Herman's Hermits. Here's Sam Sham and the Pharaohs. Murphy didn't spend his time hunting UFOs. Instead, he just happened to stumble upon the mother of all broadcasts, the alleged Kecksburg UFO crash in December of 65.
Fucking Nazis.
Amen!
Yeah.
Yes. I
say that often. But the old Der Glocke.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Kecksburg. In a situation more fitting for a blockbuster thriller. Brad Pitt get on that? I don't know.
Come on now.
Murphy had scored audio tapes of eyewitnesses' accounts and some grade A Kodak moments from the crash site itself. Ooh. But quicker than you can say, Men in Black, this tantalizing trove of ET evidence was allegedly snatched by none other than Uncle Sam's finest.
Yeah, said Men in Black. Don't you hate
this them? Official raid wasn't just the stuff of fevered dreams. Another radio jockey claimed to have had front row seats to the whole operation. So, in short, Murphy's outlandish tale wasn't just hot air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah! just like his serendipitous brush with the Kecksburg incident, Murphy found himself in another dramatic plot twist in California in February of 69. Only this nice time, it wasn't a flying saucer he encountered, but a hit-and-run driver.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, yeah. That got him. His sudden death, marked as an unfortunate road accident, had some whispering about a cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could Murphy's close encounter with the Kecksburg truth have painted a target on his back?
I mean, of course, if it's true. You know, and also the fact that we know that they had said for a very long time, we're not even looking at these things. And then we're looking at those things for a very long time. Also, that's all just conjecture and fun to talk about. The real takeaway there is the Kecksburg and you brought up the Nazi bell. That was one of the we did an episode on John and I a long time ago. Yeah, for one of the anniversaries, and it just so happened to be when all sorts of newspapers all over were looking online for something, and they quoted us in tons of reports, even calling us historians. The finest journalism on the planet was done that week. But it helped us grow, so I can't really have a soft spot for the – this sounds so terrible. I have a soft spot for the Nazi bell. Or at least the Kecksburg, PA, you know, whatever that was in the sky, which was another bell, which we all know is just the Nazi bell popping back into our reality after time travel. Yeah.
Yep. You guys literally did not see that coming.
Nazi. Uh-oh. Moving on, we got Tony Dodd.
Thanks for not lingering, Bryn.
Historians know when to move on. So we're crossing the pond to meet Tony Dodd. And some people called him the Sherlock Holmes ufology. Now, I don't know about that, but He had a career as a police detective under his belt, and then he leapt in the world of the unknown and, you know, not saying it was a midlife crisis. Instead, his expertise as a sleuth added a welcome extra dash of credibility to the weird things he investigated. I think that's important. You know, you got someone, they stop being a cop and they go into this weird stuff, but they still have that skill set. So it sounds like, who would you rather hear research something, me or ex-detective?
It's true.
You know.
But why did he retire, or was he kicked off the force?
He was practically a VIP in the UFO event circuit. He was everywhere. Linda's voice, some of the most crazy alien sightings and, you know, tinfoil hat abductions and stuff like that in the UK. This is all throughout the 80s, all the way to the new millennium. So he was in there for quite a while. Fast forward to 2009, and Dodd's career in uncovering otherworldly stuff was cut short by a brain tumor, something I know all too well about. Both my parents actually died of brain tumors, so not fun, not fun at all. But here's where things get murky. So Dodd had reported warnings from an anonymous source. That's the word I was looking for, including a shadowy stateside agent. This does really feel like an episode of Mully and Sculder taking things across the pond. Anyway.
Sorry, Mully and Sculder?
Then it was Scully and Mulder. Mully and Sculder. That was the porn version. Mully, do you want to touch my Sculder?
Scoldering hard.
Oh my god.
Triple X Files.
These advisors, these people, whatever you want to call them, these whistleblowers, Tim, urged him to avoid certain locales due to suspected threats on his life. Now, he had said these things out loud. Coupled with this, there were whispers that his tumor could have been an inside job, of course, activated by high tech hocus pocus from, I'm sure, some clandestine three-lettered faction somewhere, you know, CIA, KGB.
MI6.
Jenny Craig. Something. Who knows?
ACLU.
It's tantalizing. It's all speculative, you know, so let's not go crazy here. But it is a little weird that he had said people were telling him this, and then he ends up, he woke up dead.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know. This is another thing I think we see with a lot of these cases is some form of paranoia that manifests, which if it were true, then yes, you know, people can be paranoid with that. But if it's not true, if it's something mental that people are having to deal with and they don't know it, paranoia is often associated with delusions and things like that. So
that's why
it's hard to say.
We listen to a Sculder and Mully. They never.
That's right.
They never let that kind of crap go to their head.
I like Mully's take on it.
I want to figure out what those look like.
They probably look
Mully
like
Mully and
us.
Sculder. Take us home on the first five before a break, if you will. Tell us about John Mack.
You got it. John Mack is one of the biggest names in the extraterrestrial business. He wasn't your average flying saucer fanatic. Oh, you know, my friend. Mack was a bona fide Harvard professor.
Ooh.
One of them eggheads at Harvard.
Yeah.
Who had dedicated his illustrious career to UFOs and alien abductions.
That, speaking of leading credence to something, I mean, that's kind of the same thing, you know? I'm a former detective. I'm a Harvard professor.
Right.
And I believe in aliens. You fucking crack! You fucking weirdo! You're a kook! Anyway, sorry.
Get out of here. Go over to fucking Princeton.
Yeah. Yeah. Get your car to Harvard Yard. Oh, Lord. Anyway, keep going.
So his tragic death in 2004 hit the UFO community pretty hard.
Yeah.
While he was on a trip to London, he met his end at the hands of a drunk driver.
Yeah, that sucks.
And it's sad tale as old as time. There's a senseless accident, a life extinguished too soon, something we hear about with a lot of these stories.
Yeah, a lot. Well, a lot of people out there, just so many people, drunk drivers,
Well,
killing, you know, loved ones and family members, and just a disgusting accident. Yeah.
Afterwards, though, his position as one of the first academics to take little green men and their interstellar shenanigans seriously left a huge gap in the field.
Yeah.
But like any good UFO sighting, there's always room for a little speculation. Mac's eyebrow-raising research coupled with his tragic end had some UFO buffs questioning if his demise was as cut and dry as it appeared.
Yeah.
Was it a simple case of a tragic accident, or was he silenced? We may never know, but as always, the truth is out there, but you won't find it
here. Hey, that's our tagline. Man, that is something, too. Like, if you are a clandestine CIA, FBI, blah, 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 anyone worth your salt, or worth your weight in espionage or whatever you want to call it, you would be good at making things look like accidents, mm-hmm. for better or worse. So it's hard to say one way or another unless there's whistleblowers. Well, guess what? They've probably been killed too before they can blow said whistle. Or it's all even just after. Bullshit. Right. Right. Or, you know, it's all just BS and he just was killed by a drunk driver. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's just so tasty to want there to be more to a story.
For yeah, better or worse. That is true.
So that's our first six, our first 10 through six. We got five more. First five, that is. We're going to break when we come back. Five more people who maybe knew too much, or maybe it's all made up. That's coming up after the break on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know? If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today.
Woo! Well, I got news for you kids. It's time for the ladies to get to dance with death. It's
about time. Right.
And Livingston. Dr. Livingston, I presume. Yeah. This time we're casting our spotlight on the UFO sleuth and MUFON member, Anne Livingston, who she unfortunately had ovarian cancer. She passed in 94. But some of her comrades in the star-chasing biz or UFO biz or whatever you want to call it, and her tight-knit circle of friends couldn't help but kind of wonder if her untimely demise was somehow linked to a reported alien encounter. Now, this one is a little bit different. We're going to head to a chilly December night in 92, and we're at her home outside of O'Hare Airport in Chicago, our stomping ground, and it kind of turned into the Spielberg's Close Encounters set. She said she saw dazzling silver-white flashes and lights, and there's more to it. As the light show wasn't eyebrowsing enough, if you're eyebrow-raising enough, that is, just a few hours later, Livingston played host to a bunch of Men in Black visitors, she said, came to her house that wanted to know what the hell she had seen and question her. And as things are getting interesting, Livingston, she passed, and leaving an aftermath of bizarre mystery of everything that happened. As bonkers as it sounds, there's been chatter amongst the UFO peeps that the subsequent illness may have been a fallout from her encounter with these lights that were close by, that she was bathed in these lights. Wouldn't be the first illness or cancer attributed to alien visitors. We've talked about it here on H51. In fact, we've talked about when those two elderly women and their grandson sued the U.S. government saying, well, it was either yours or you knew about it, and now we're sick and we got cancer. You need to help us out. Now, as usual, we're left with nothing but questions. So it's a huge gray area. But, you know, she'd had an interesting experience. And then once again, she said the Men in Black came a knocking. And then all of a sudden she develops cancer. How do you feel about a story like that, or these Men in Black stuff and then people dying?
It's hard to say, because for one thing, around O'Hare there, wouldn't there be, don't they have the houses packed in pretty tight?
Well, around O'Hare itself, you got Rosemont right there. So it's a little deceiving. O'Hare is technically, it's called Chicago. It is miles away from Chicago. Mm-hmm. It's its own, it's near Rosemont. You know, to get from downtown to there, it's like an hour.
And, hour on the blue line, yeah.
Yeah. And so around the grounds, yes, but the grounds of O'Hare are gigantic, you know, so it's hard to say exactly where. You could be outside of O'Hare and be in very different spots.
So do you think, my point with this is, why was she the only one to witness such a big silver white flash?
Right. Well, there's always people that are seeing stuff around O'Hare, but guess what? A lot of things are also chalked up to, well, it's the airport.
Yeah.
Or was it a personal thing that came down and they were only trying to communicate with her because of her position? You know, choose your own adventure on that one. I don't know.
If this were a brain tumor, I'd be more willing to be like, that could have been something associated, but if it's ovarian cancer, it's harder to say, well, a flash would be connected with that,
I think. Right. I don't know. You know, and is it just people grasping at straws? Probably. But, you know, it's
a Men in Black story, though, you know.
Another Men in Black. They came to say, like, hell of a lookers, pale face, terrible lipstick. Tell us, if you will, about Jim Keith. Number four.
On our mystery
Quattro on our list. So we're getting down to nitty gritty.
It's the passing of researcher and author Jim Keith, someone you can't trust because he has two first names for
firsty.
In a life that could make The Twilight Zone seem like a rom-com, the circumstances of his death would turn this intrigue dial up to 11. Keith was knee-deep in dissecting the work of investigative journalist Danny Casolaro, another cat whose mysterious death would raise eyebrows.
Ooh.
Keith backed up Casolaro's wild claims of an octopus of shadowy figures puppeteering global events from behind the scenes,
which we're hearing about from Grush and all these other people, interestingly enough, now in the news. So,
Wow. Paging Mr. Hydra.
Yeah.
paging Mr. Spectre. So as the plot thickens, Keith also alleged covert government drug testing on unsuspecting residents in areas like Dulce, New Mexico.
Shit. We know the powers that be have done that in the past all over the place. It's not exactly a twist.
Yeah, there is a twist to this one, though.
Ooh.
He said these unconsented trials were masqueraded as alien abductions, a convenient distraction from their clandestine and downright illegal operations.
Man, that sadly feels like it could be true, doesn't it? Because they've done that stuff in the past. They've blamed stuff on aliens, and they've experimented on our own people. It's fucking disgusting, but it is, you know, it is true.
If you dose people with, you know, something they're out of it or very, you know, close to being unconscious, then, yeah, it could seem like you're getting abducted, especially if whoever's doing it dresses up in some kind of
gear. Aliens. I knew it in my bones.
Now, there is an unsuspecting turn in this.
Uh-oh.
Or oh, my God. This is what a stroke feels like. An unexpected turn.
Does anyone else taste
I'm going to be on this fucking list before we're done here. Jesus.
Keith, choose your words, sir. Choose your words.
I'm trying. That's the problem. Keith suffered a fall from a stage at a festival in 2004, which fractured his tibia and necessitated surgery. So, in another unfortunate turn, he never woke up from the operation.
Man.
Official cause was a blood clot in his leg, which had punched his ticket to the great beyond.
Ugh.
He was literally grateful dead at that point. To add an extra layer of, weird shit, Nitro News, one of the platforms Keith contributed to, and maybe not on the Pulitzer's shortlist, mysteriously vanished from the interwebs around the same time as his death. Mm-mm. Is it a coincidence? Maybe. But, you know, with shit like that, it's probably Keith being the one to keep it up and running and paying for it, but whatever. And then again, you know, it's just a UFO story. There's always more than meets the eye if you look hard enough, or just really, really want there to be something there.
Yeah, that's the point. There's always more to anything if you want there to be. That doesn't mean that there's not. Just because you think someone is following you all the time doesn't mean someone isn't following you all the time.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So, you know, keep that in mind, kids. Is someone following me? Maybe. Maybe. James Forrestal. We're winding back the clock to the wee hours of May 22nd, 1949, when the first ever U.S. Secretary of Defense, Mr. James Forrestal, took a leap from the 13th floor of the Bethesda Naval Hospital in Maryland. So he was under the medical radar for depression. So that's aligns with that. And he had resigned from his official post just months before he fell to his death. The paperwork filed away, his end was, of course, you know, it was a tragic suicide, but some, including the own members of his family, now they beg to differ. The official narrative says that he was last seen at 1:45 a.m. engrossed in a book. He's just reading late at night. And according to this story, tale, truth, whatever you want to call it, our protagonist then snuck off to the kitchen, conjured up an impromptu noose with a bathrobe rope, the part that goes around your waist, fixed it to a handy radiator in the room, and then jumped on out to hang himself. His fatal plunge through the window ended up abruptly as the rope snapped, you know, marking his untimely demise. The tragic narratives have some plot holes, people say. For starters, the bathrobe rope would have fallen short of a window radiator stretch, meaning he wouldn't have gotten down if he was trying to get down, or if he was trying to hang himself, he wouldn't have worked. People say there wouldn't have been... there would have been traces on the radiator from the rope, or vice versa. There was nothing found there. And then Even shadier, the guard on duty was a newbie to the facility who was subbed in last minute, never worked there before. Forrestal dies. The guy gives his testimony as the last man to see Forrestal alive, and then fades in the shadows, never to be seen or heard from again. That button's getting a workout this episode. The most crazy, spine-chilling detail, or weirdest, what do you want to call it? People reported claw marks on the window ledge. That suggests that the exit was less of a leap and more of a push, and him trying to stop the fall. That is fucking crazy.
Brutal. I love it.
That's fucking not something to love. That is terrifying to me. This is where UFO believers tune in, considering Forrestal's tenure coincided with the notorious Roswell incident and other 1940s UFO shenanigans. He likely had a full access pass to all of these secrets, and a lot of UFO peeps speculate that his knowledge painted a big red target on his back, courtesy of some deep state agency. Pick your poison there. He didn't fall in line, and so he fell. Kind of a crazy one, yeah. That one feels like he maybe could have crossed the wrong bureau or something like that. But again, who knows? Next up, number two. So we're getting low. Morris K. Jessup, sir. Tell us, if you will.
This one I've heard about.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with, old Jazz Hands Jessup.
Yeah. Old past guest on H51, some of the early episodes.
Yes. Morris takes us back to 1955. Morris K. Jessup was one of the early birds in UFO research and the author of The Case for the UFO.
I have that book. Thank you very much.
Little did he know, his book would crack open Pandora's box, leading to a cascade of peculiar events, culminating in his untimely demise.
Allegedly.
Thanks there, fucking Kreskin. Everything on this is allegedly, but yeah, no shit. All right.
Yeah, he's on to it there. Yeah. But Jessup's inbox started buzzing with messages from a certain Carl Allen, who, plot twist, claimed to have been an insider in the legendary Philadelphia experiment.
The Philadelphia experiment.
The final countdown. This correspondence intrigued the U.S. Navy, and they engaged in some maritime interrogation about Jessup's UFO research. After the Navy rendezvous, Jessup's phone line was ablaze with odd calls, prompting him to become a bit more covert with his UFO sleuthing. But on April 19th, he made plans with Dr. J. Manson Valentine.
That is a fucking name right there.
But just a bunch of names tossed together to discuss a breakthrough. Spoiler alert, Jessup didn't show. Instead, he was found dead in his car with a hose running from the exhaust to the window, man, to the wall, till sweat runs down his
his trousers?
His trousers. Down his metal crawls. Some conspiracy theorists cry foul play, pointing out the soaking wet towels tied around the hose pipe. They were part of Jessup's towel collection.
These aren't your towels, Jay.
There wasn't exactly a water source nearby for the impromptu bath time. Boy, I hope nobody ever looks at my towels because I just have a Frankenstein.
Yeah, there. Right. Yeah.
The mystery of Jessup's last act still fuels debates in the hallowed halls of UFO research today.
Yeah.
So was it a tragic suicide or a carefully orchestrated murder? We may never know, but it sure does make you think, doesn't it, Brent?
Yeah, that's weird. Like, if I was going to kill myself, why would I wrap it in wet towels unless I wanted – what does that do for it anyway? Like, if someone was killing him, I'm sure there's a reason for it. I just don't know what that reason is. Does it?
I would say that. How much am I telling on myself? The towels would block. If it's a wet towel, it's better at blocking gas from escaping.
I guess so. Right. So it's you're funneling in as much as possible, kind of thing.
Could be something like that. Yeah, to where it's not leaking or venting too much. It just says wrapped in towels. It doesn't really explain.
Yeah, and I didn't dive into this one either per se, but that's interesting. If anyone knows of the reasoning for that, let us know, because that's, something terrible that now I want to know the answer to. As gross as it sounds. Why don't you take us home? Tell us about, last but not least, Phil Schneider, who's probably on everyone's bingo card if you've looked into anything in ufology.
The Schneid, holding our grand finale spot. The old enigmatic Phil Schneider, hold on to your tinfoil hats, you sons of bitches, because his story is a wild ride.
It is. He's got some stories, is for sure the shit he was saying. Yeah.
In the early 90s, Schneider burst onto the scene with a series of public speeches where he dropped the bombshell that he used to punch the clock for Uncle Sam at various underground facilities.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked about him before, so we don't get too deep into this, but if it wasn't enough, he claimed to have stumbled into a full-blown melee between subterranean ETs and military forces below Dulce.
Yep, special forces and ETs shooting at each other underground while he's just trying to do his job. It's a tale as old as time.
We're back to Dulce, oddly enough, here.
Yep.
So he even boasted of a souvenir from the skirmish, a scar from an ultra-advanced alien weapon, which he was more than happy to show off at his talks.
Look at this! I lost that from an alien!
Mr. Schneider, will you please put your pants back on?
No! They took it! They took it underground at Dulce, yeah. And I was there with my wife, Morgan Fairchild.
Yeah, that's the ticket. Well, as you'd expect, Schneider's tales had some rolling their eyes, including a few skeptics within the UFO community itself. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of the aisle, you had the believers who hung on to Schneider's every word. His speeches continued to do the rounds on the internet, even now.
Ad nauseum. You can Google them and watch hours and hours.
During these lectures, he ominously mused that he had no idea how long he would be able to keep talking about his experiences. didn't Jim Mars start saying something like that too?
Well, Jim Mars died not that long ago, but Jim Mars was always of more sound mind to me than anyone else. You know, he wrote all the stuff about JFK and stuff like that. And he wrote Alien Agenda, which is a great book, but I always thought he was a little skeptical. He just was like, well, here's what people are saying. But I don't remember that, but I don't know.
Yeah, he was one I would like to like, but he's a little too, well, he was running in a few too bad circles, I feel like.
Yeah,
Let's just put it that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, officially, Schneider checked out of Hotel Earth on January 17th, 1996.
Yeah.
His life apparently ended by his own hand. His body was found sporting a wire wrapped around his neck, pointing to a hanging. But, boy, with a wire? But many, including some family members, took one look at the suicide narrative and said, nah, we are not buying that.
Mm-hmm.
So, was it a cover-up for something more sinister? That's up to you. But remember, sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction, or in this case, stranger than an alien tussle in a secret underground base.
Yeah, this guy was out there, man. And, you know, so many people poked holes in everything he said, and he's like, nay, sir, you just don't know. He was pretty out there. This one, I just, you know, I don't believe a word of it, you know, of course, of anything he said, but I also think that he probably committed suicide. But hey, that's my opinion, and it's up to you guys to decide what you want. Lots of suicides, and I think so often we just don't want to think someone would do that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's easier to blame it on others, and it's also easier to say, well, they were doing something that I'm interested in, so I bet they were too close to the truth. Because being on the inside feels good. Feels like you're close to the truth, or that you're close to your hands on the pulse, you know, or whatever you want to call it. So
I'll do you one better. It can speak to deep insecurity within oneself, where you need this to feel good about yourself, and part of it is feeling like you're in the know or better. You have more knowledge than other people and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So, yeah, it's there's psychological components for sure. And you could go through each and every one of these and pick apart, well, there's this psychosis, mm-hmm. you know, we already talked about some of the delusion and paranoia that go hand in hand. Extreme insecurity, even though, you know, someone doesn't want to admit it, mm-hmm. that is part and parcel with a lot of people that really dive into this and make it their whole identity.
Right. Right. Yeah, this was our summing up these 10 folks who have met these weird ends. You guys, if you go to the show notes, we got a link to the article. Again, it was called 10 People Connected to UFOs Who Have Met Very Suspicious Ends on Listverse. You can click on each one. They actually have videos for each one, so you can learn a little bit more about them. And then if you want to do some more digging, please feel free. It's always worth it. It's always these are buzzword names that you might hear in a lot of things, so it might be good if you are interested in this stuff to learn a little bit more about them, especially, you know, the last few. So that's something to think about. Yep. Also think about who should have been on the list that wasn't. If you got some other people that you're thinking about, you guys didn't talk about them, let us know. And you can do that a few different ways. You can
tell Listverse.
Whispers.
don't blame us.
Yeah, right. We didn't write this. How dare you? How dare you? No.
why don't you talk about it on Pissed Verse? That's what it sounds like.
So you guys, let us know. Hop on Facebook. Go to Hysteria Nation. That's our group. We have tons of fun talks on there. Or facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod, our regular page. Tweet to us at Hysteria51Pod. Go to Patreon. You can get all of our episodes without breaks. You know, no ads, so you don't have to go through that. Plus, extra episodes, up all nights, radio dramas, fun photos, all sorts of nonsense. Voicemail, 773-669-7277. Hear yourself on the show or go to hysteria51.com. Leave us a message through there. You can find links to everything. And for our bonus episodes, weird@hysteria51.com. Send us your articles you want and we will talk about them. If you want your name on there, let us know and we'll tell everyone who to blame that week for the
article.
You
can be the list verse that week.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What do you got going on? Anything, sir?
Yes, I do.
Yes. I'm not telling, though. Goodbye.
Geez. No, too much. I'll just give highlights. First of all, 5-Minute Frights. Check out that podcast. Just started it. I read some of Tom Lyons' writings, and it's just short little episodes. I think I might have gotten up to 6 to 7 minutes in some, but that's mostly just
so what you're saying is all a big lie, just like these deaths in today's episode.
That's right. I'm just trying to pull the wool over everyone's
You heard it
eyes.
Here first, folks.
5-Minute Fleeces. And
sorry, that was funny.
That should be anywhere, everywhere, so check that out. 5-Minute Frights. If you can't find it right off, just search for my name or Tom Lyons or the number 5-Minute Frights. Of course, I've got Trivia with Quiz Bang Bang. I'm trying to get Blurry Photos still going. I don't have time to write my stuff anymore, but I'm getting there. And in other news, I've started a theater company.
Yay! I hate myself.
I really hate myself. I want life to be as miserable as possible. So, anyways, yeah, we're doing Twelfth Night in September, and
very cool.
Got a company almost officially started. I won't say officially until it actually happens. Yeah. But
if you're in parts unknown, Colorado,
yeah, please support Firebird Theater Company.
There you go. There you go. Very cool name. I like that. Well, kids, there you have it. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay dead, meat sacks.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.